While we have this opportunity, while breath is in our body, for once breath leaves our body, all opportunities to respond to the Lord will be over. On tonight, as Brother Thomas mentioned this morning, we have sort of a unique title that we want to share with you tonight. Lessons learned from yeast. We chose a scripture to get some similarity of what we want to talk about tonight from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and particularly verse 9, after he had said, of course, what he said in verse number 8, when he said that there were some things that they needed to think on. And of course, you can see it there on the screen, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that are of a good report. He says, think on these things. But then in verse number 9 is really where I'm taking the similarity of a thought from to apply with what we're going to talk about tonight. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. All of us, I'm sure, at one time or another, perhaps, have observed a flock of geese as they would be on their migratory journey, or migrating from the north to the south, where it's warm at to spend the winter. And we'll notice that they are flying in a certain formation. Well, there was a man by the name of Dr. Robert McNeish. He was a science teacher at first, and then he went into administration, and he ended up being superintendent of the Baltimore City Public Schools. And he published some facts. We read this, that he published some facts that science had discovered about yeast that he wanted to relate to his employees in his school system to help to spur them on or encourage them in teamwork. These facts that he shared with his members there, I think can help us so much in our journey. We are not journeying from the north to the south, but we are journeying from earth to heaven. Hopefully all of us will end up in heaven. We are on a journey. And there were some things that science pointed out about geese, this flock of geese. Well, in looking at the scripture that I just read, especially in verse number 9, there were some things there that Paul says, now, these things that you've seen, that you've heard, that you've learned from me, that you've observed in me, if you would do those things, then the God of peace would be with you. So I'm saying tonight, then, that if we look at these facts that Dr. McNeish pointed out in his publication to encourage his employees, if we would keep those things in mind, or these things in mind, and learn from them. There are some great lessons that can be learned and applied in our daily walk with the Lord. And as we strive to work with each other and doing the will of the Lord, and hopefully one day we will hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, the scriptures, on a few occasions, often point to nature for illustrations and wisdom. Solomon, the wise man Solomon, he pointed to the ant when he was trying to encourage the lazy person to really get out and work. And I read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. You can read it there, where he said that they needed to consider this ant, how the ant would prepare or provide meat for the summer and food for the winter. He says, you need to be just like this ant. And he says one thing about this ant. He says they have no overseer, they have no guide, they have no ruler, but yet they know to do these things. And I think they are operating just like these geese do. I think they were operating on their God-given instinct to be able to do, to know and to do certain things to help them to survive. Well, these geese also, as I've said, have some God-given instincts how to navigate themselves from one point to another where they are trying to get. So there are several things that he pointed out that science had learned as they studied these geese in their journey. And the first thing that he mentioned in his article there, that science had learned and observed from these geese, is that each goose in the flock flaps its wings, and the flapping of his wings creates an uplift for the birds that would follow. They're flying in a V, and each time they flap their wings, of course, it would create an uplift for the birds that follow. And by flying in this position, it was determined and discovered that the whole flock of geese would add some 71% greater flying range in their journey than if each bird flew alone. What that says to me is that for every 100 miles that the geese flew, that they could fly another 71 miles simply by flying in this fashion or in this formation, because they would benefit from the uplift of the wings that were flapping that would make it so much easier for them to fly farther and farther in their journey. There's a principle that is observed here, and it's called synergy. Anybody ever heard of that word, synergy? Synergy simply says that two or more agents working together will produce a result that is not so easily obtained when working alone. Notice what he says, as they fly in this V formation, as their wings flap, they create an updraft and they can fly 71% farther, or a greater range than they could if they flew as an individual goose. That's synergy. When I was back, Brother Montgomery, and the younger people probably won't know anything about this, but when I was back working on the farm in the cotton fields, and of course we didn't have the great big hundreds of acres that these farmers have now, but if you were in the field, or if I was in the field, I put it this way, and if I was there by myself, oh man, what a drag that would be, Brother Dennis. But if there were several other people in the field, that gives me a little boost. I feel like I can get the row out then, because I didn't feel like I was there by myself. I didn't know what synergy meant back then, but I believe that was the principle of synergy at work, that the other people was giving me some encouragement, if you will, to stay there in that field and to do what I needed to do. Well, that's the lesson that we need to learn from the geese, again, as they fly, that we need to be about the business of giving people an uplift by working together. We don't have the wings to flap, but at least we can work together and help one another to go a little bit further down the journey. Perhaps this may explain a principle that's found in the Bible that our Lord used. You remember when he was sending people out in New Testament times? In Luke chapter 1, we find him doing this. Luke chapter 10, I should say, and verse number 1, the Bible says, "After these things, the Lord appointed unto 70 also, and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." Evidently, he knew that it was so much better to send them 2 by 2 than to send them 1 by 1. Synergy could be realized in an arrangement like that. But even Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 and 10, he says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up." Synergy, working together for the common good, if you will. People then who share a common direction and sense of community, as we Christians should, can get where we are trying to go quicker and easier, because we are traveling on the thrust or the uplift of one another. Geese then, again, as they flap their wing, they create an uplift for the other birds to follow. Another thing that science found out as they studied these geese was that when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of flying alone. And then it does this. It quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power that we've already talked about of the bird immediately in front of it. Goose seem like they're some smart individuals. Smart birds. They have sense enough to know that if I feel all of this drag, that if I get back into formation, then I won't have so much resistance. So they quickly then move back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the bird immediately in front of it. What's the lesson then that you and I ought to be able to learn from this? Again, we need help from one another. We need encouragement and mutual edification from one another. Christians appreciate the value of this mutual edification and encouragement that comes from one another. No wonder the Hebrew writer would say it like this in Hebrews chapter 3. And here are some Christians that the Hebrew writer was writing to who were about to quit on their journey. They were about to give up on their journey. He said to them, "Take heed," verse number 12, "brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort or encourage or lift one up." Exhort one another daily, he says, "while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." And so what do we do? We encourage one another when we see another falling out of formation. We encourage them to get back into formation because we are trying to obtain the goal of heaven, and it will only be a reality in our lives if we hold the beginning of our confidence, as he said, steadfast until the end. And so we encourage and exhort one another to stay in the formation, to don't give up just yet. What a great lesson we can learn from geese. And then there was something else that he pointed out, that when the lead goose, they're flying in this V, when the lead goose tires or get tired, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies into the point position. What is that saying? That geese share the burden with one another. It pays to take turns in doing the quote hard tasks and sharing in the burdens together. You see, as with the geese, Christians are interdependent, are dependent upon each other's various capabilities and talents that they have, our resources. We are dependent upon each other to help in this journey, to help do the bidding that the Lord has for us to do. No wonder when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 16, he says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied. Did you hear that? There is something for every joint to do in the body of Christ. And every joint don't do the same thing. As we look at our bodies, the knee joint don't do the same thing as the hip joint. They all have their individual tasks to do, and they all need to share in those tasks. And so just like the lead goose, when it tires, another goose rotates and takes its place, and it gets back into the formation. So every person in the body of Christ need to do our part, and there are some things that only can be done by us as an individual. Influence, for example. You perhaps have some influence on somebody that I may not ever have the influence on, but you can do that. So you need to do your part, and I need to do my part. So Paul went on to say then, every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Geese share the burden. It's been said that too often times Christians burn out because other Christians won't help out. You ever thought about that? Nobody else. And sometimes that happens in the body of Christ. Sometimes it become tenuous when it seems like you're the only one doing anything. It can bring on burnout. Is it justified? I'm not saying that it's justified, but it's a fact of life that one can become burnout when nobody else is helping out. So geese then share the burden. Another thing that he says that the scientists found out about the geese was that the geese flying in formation, they honk to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And he says it was very unlikely that they were complaining that they were going in the wrong direction. They were honking to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. What's the lesson that we can learn from that particular fact? We need to make sure that we are, quote, as it were, honking to encourage and not honking to complain. In groups where there is encouragement, the production is so much greater. But if you have a group where people are always complaining, how much do you think is going to get done? We need to be people that will be encouraging. Such should be with our words that we even speak. As Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 points out so vividly, when Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he says there, let no corrupt communication, he says, come out of your mouth, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging, that it may minister grace, he says, unto the hearers. We need to be about encouraging and not complaining. Even Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, Paul said to the church at Colossae, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Yeast flying in that formation, they honk to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And then the last fact that the scientist pointed out as he wrote in his article is that yeast care for one another. Yeast care for one another. He says this, the fact says this, that when a goose gets sick or wounded or shot down, he says that two geese drop out of the formation and follow it down to help and protect it. And they stay with it until it either is able to fly again or it dies. That looks like to me that those geese care about one another. Shouldn't it be the same thing with us? Shouldn't we care about one another? Again, if we got much sense as a geese, or as goose, as geese, we'll stand by each other in difficult times as well as when times are good. Sometimes it seems like it's easy to stand by people when everything is going well, but when difficult times come, as somebody said, that's when you find out who your true friends really are. We need to stand by people when their difficult times roll around. And yes, at one time or another in all of our lives, we're going to have some difficult times. The road will not be always easy and smooth to travel on. We all are going to have our valleys and our bumps and our bruises along the way. But we need fellow Christians to stand with us, just like these geese do. Again, he says, when one goose is wounded or is shot down or gets sick, that two geese go down with it and stay down there either until it gets well or until it dies. And of course, if it gets well, then they get it back up and catch up with the formation. Let's not, again, abandon people when they have their problems, when they have their difficulties. Let's stay with them and try to help them all the way. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 tells us, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a man, such a one, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In verse number 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. God wants us to stand by people, to help them along the way, just like these geese do. They help each one along the way. And so, if there's anything that we can learn from the geese as they migrate from the north to the south, we ought to put these things in practice in our spiritual journey from earth to heaven. And if we do that, God will help us. So by instinct, again, these geese are able to do what they do. And that instinct was given to them by God and by God's word. And the wisdom that we gain from his word and from him, he can help us to succeed in our spiritual journey. Do you want to be a spiritual success? Then take a lesson from the geese. Lessons learned from a geese. If you're here then this evening and you're struggling in your journey, you're struggling along your pathway, don't be afraid to ask for someone, to call for someone to come to your aid, to help you along the way. And if you have not started that spiritual journey, you ought to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ that he might add you to his church and begin your spiritual journey and stay in the formation. And when you see one that's struggling, again, come to their aid and help one another share the load of doing the will of God. Because as anything that the devil can really benefit from is from a weak Christian who's left all alone. So if you realize that you really need the help of one another, don't be afraid to ask. And I believe that somebody will come to your aid. And I hope that all of us would be willing to rally to your aid. You're here then tonight, and you need to come. While we stand, while we sing, will you come?